Greetings. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show tonight. We've got some interesting guests here. Clyde Lewis and company is up here we're going to do some live broadcasting and doing some movie filming and some other things up here. And he's got Ground Zero, which is a great radio show. I love listening to it whenever I can, whenever I'm not out putting fence posts in or whatever. It's quite a show, so that should be good. And we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on the planet. And also at the same time, we're going to talk about, what the activity here and the things that we experience here. It's just been a marvelous weekend. And we could go ahead and talk about some of the incredible sightings and the ships and some of the other things going on. I want to get out of the way first. We've got Laura Eisenhower coming up and Dr. Dream on the new moon for Skywatch. And a weekend retreat, workshop July 25th through the 27th. So put that on your calendar. We've got a holotropic breath work with my brother, Jay Gillen. There are amazing opportunities to really blow through your stuff. You know, it's an amazing event, and that's on August 2nd. And we've got Tellinger coming up August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And we've got the ambassador training coming up August 29th, 30th, and 31st. And the second ambassador training is September 19th, the 20th, and the 21st. So if you want to find out more about these private events, you can inquire at esetireservations@gmail.com. Again, that's esetireservations@gmail.com. Now, we've also got a few other things coming up here. We've got... I hope my phone here is still working. I'm having all kinds of crazy problems here. But we're having trouble with the lines here because it's really weird. I talked to her about our lines. We found our lines were fried. I mean, they're actually pulsed somehow. And they fried the line here at the ranch and the line here where it connects in town as well. So they were just black. And they replaced those, but we're still having problems. So we'll get that straightened out here real soon, I hope. We might have to go with another server or something. But anyway, that's in the works. But we've got coming up, too, we've got Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree, California, August 8th through 11th. And if you go to contactinthedesert.com, you can find out about that. And this is going to be an amazing event. They've got an incredible lineup for this event. And I'm going to bring some kind of shattering information out, about what's really happening, with the UFOs and within the UFO community, and bring out a lot of other information as well about the Anunnaki, who's who, and kind of just to break through a lot of the myths and a lot of the disinformation, a lot of the planned opposition. And so, break through all the disempowerment programs and get back into empowering each individual to really make their own contact and make their own personal connection with Source. But that should be interesting, that talk there. I'm also going to be presenting at Mount Shasta Ascension Portal Conference in Mount Shasta, California, and that's September 12th through the 14th. And these are links to both of these offsite events on the eSETI.org collaborations page. So you can find out more about these events coming up. There's so much going on right now. It's like I don't even know where to start almost because there's so many things unfolding. I wanted to talk about NASA just said that, 2020 will probably discover extraterrestrial intelligence when they launch their new telescope, which is going to discover any off-world existence out there. And SETI also says in 2020, we'll discover ET. Go figure. And, eSETI says, pull your head out of your arses and look around. Contact is happening now. So that's a little bulletin from eSETI. You don't have to wait till 2020. The ships are appearing all over the place, all over the planet. There's contacts happening everywhere. And so, we don't have to be waiting for that one. They're also saying Mars in 2050, that we're going to be on Mars in 2050. Guess what? We've been going back and forth to Mars since 1960. So anyway, that's another misinformation and disinformation program that's going out there. And, I'd really, you know, take heed when you hear these people, you know, saying these things on major talk shows. You might want to call in and just say, excuse me, you know, why are you bringing these people on to keep bringing this disinformation out? You know, because they've got, you know, a lot of this going out there. They have NASA spokesmen. They have, you know, Seth Shustak and all these people on the air constantly, you know, giving this nonsense out. And those are for the masses that are clueless. And they want to keep you clueless. And that's their program. You know, we've got Peter Davenport with the International UFO Reporting Center, who loves to just continue to say that there's nothing but meteors and satellites flying over East Eddy. And the last episodes here, the last shows, have clearly established this isn't the case. Again, we'll do that tonight. And also we've got Michael Horn out there saying that both that Billy Meyer is the only true prophet of God and the only contactee on the planet. And they claim to have an exclusive on both. So another totally disempowering message. We can all make our own personal God connection, and we can all contact ET if we want to put the time and energy into it. So beware of the disempowerment programs going on, folks. It's really not very becoming of a gods and goddesses. And we can all connect with the source itself and a lot of beings along the way if we desire. There's a few little tools and techniques. You might want to learn how to heal unseen negative influences and a few other things along the way, like who's who in the universe, and those are the things we teach here at ESETI. But, again, there's many, many people out there that are helping, assisting people making their own personal contact with the higher dimensional beings, and nobody has an exclusive on it. And as soon as you hear the word exclusive, grab your wallet and run, you know, because that's basically where things are going. That's about it for the things I wanted to cover. I want to try to bring our guests on. I hope our lines are holding up, but we'll see if we can get on to the house line because they're up here at the ranch right now. So, Clyde, are you with us? I don't know if Clyde can hear me. Hello, Clyde.
Hello?
Hello, Clyde. How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear me?
Fantastic. Yes, I can hear you too.
Okay, great. Yeah, we're having the usual phone craziness going on, you know, but it's getting straightened out, the little glitches. Hey, you know, there's so many things I'd love to cover. First of all, welcome to the show. It's great having you up at ESETI again, and I hope you're having a good time.
I'm having a fantastic time. This year, you know, I usually come every year, usually late in August. This year we came a little early. We may come back later on next month, but in the meantime, last night was a remarkable night, I felt, for those who were here, many of my listeners who came out as well, some from Houston, some from, I mean, all over the country were here. We witnessed some pretty remarkable things. In fact, some of the things that we saw were things I've always wanted to try and uncover here at ESETI. One is the remarkable doorway that is right there in the side of the mountain at Mount Adams. We also saw some remarkable beam ships that flared up, and this year we brought with us one of my assistants who has a sky program that we were able to tell the difference between satellites and UFOs, and for every one or two satellites that came overhead, there were like four or five unexplained anomalous happenings right over the ranch.
And the unexplained, too, it's like they made it very clear these were not satellites just by their behavior.
Well, and there was a reason for this, because there was there are a number of people, as you said earlier, that say that when you come to ESETI, what you're seeing are just, you know, satellites flying overhead. And I figured, well, let's make sure that we have a program available that we can show people that, you know, this isn't the case, that we do have some remarkable things flying over here. And my producer, Brian, was just so excited and elated because as he was looking out over the sky, and he held his phone app. It was a phone app, and it's called a sky charter, a sky guide. And he had the sky guide pointed right out at the stars. And every once in a while, you'd see a satellite go by. But the things that we were looking at weren't the satellites. The things that we were looking at, and because it was an accurate, it was actually an accurate illustration of what the sky was like, and it was in real time. So we were remarkably surprised and delighted at the fact that what we were seeing were some remarkable beam ships. They were firing up, and in fact, I went to go get my coat. I decided to take a break. I had to get my coat because I was feeling a little chilly out here. And as I went to the back, went into the trunk of the car, I looked up and I was screaming, "Look at that beam ship! It's huge!" And everybody in the compound heard me saying it because I was just so excited.
Yeah, that was great. You know, I know when we first started out, I think we're 2 out of 10 or something. Like 8 were satellites, and two were satellites, and 8 were unknown. And,
right.
And I know later on he did identify a few more satellites, but the vast majority of what we're looking at. And how would you explain the behavior of these things? I mean, just the sheer magnitude of light coming on them and the way they behaved.
Well, the behavior of these were almost like a ballet this year. It's remarkable how there was this one incident where we looked up, we saw a huge beam ship flare up, and then it moved quickly through the sky, and then another one flared up and flew in tandem with the other, and doing circles and all kinds of other. I heard the comments of it's like they're dancing for us. It's like they're here for us. It's like that they are communicating with us. And I have been here several times. I remember the first time I came here, I noticed some very remarkable beam ships that would brighten up. But this is probably the first time in a long time where I actually was just floored because of the fact that we had facts in front of us. We had criteria in front of us. We went in with critical thinking and came out astonished with how, over the top. I mean, it was just too remarkable to even explain because of the fact that we went in wanting to be critical and we came out. We've always been believers up here of what's been going on, but we've never had the technology available to have more discernment over what's going on up here. And now we have the discernment, and now we have the evidence, and now we have these things, and we also have the software to point out that which is not a UFO or that which is not something that can be explained. And that, to me, is one more, it's a testimony for this place and how wonderful it is.
Yeah, I know your cameraman got pretty excited out there with a lot of the ships and did a really good job of filming them. And unfortunately, about two-thirds of the way through the evening, my camera ran out of memory, so we had to go download it. And we missed a few really good ones. Were you out there when that one with the two giant windows and it looked like a metallic beam between the two windows appeared?
Yeah, it looked like they said it was a U-shaped. It was almost as if we were seeing the rounded corner of a saucer moving in with windows, and then there was this bar between the windows that swooped in.
Yeah.
And it was a remarkable thing to see. And everybody, it was also the one that I had never seen before. I hadn't seen anything like this before, where there was a big flare, and then it would dim, go a few hundreds of miles, and then it would brighten up again and go a few hundred miles and brighten up again. So it was like flashing. This wasn't a strobe. It was just a huge flare up, then a dimming period, then a flare up, then a dimming period. So it was remarkable to see that shoot across the sky as well.
And a lot of these were happening pretty much later on in the evening and they're well within the Earth's shadow. So they were actually generating their own light, and they weren't reflecting any light. They were self-illuminated, which totally eliminate satellites. Plus, we had the gear up there to double check and make sure they weren't satellites.
Yeah, and it was really funny. I told my producer, I said, "Now, we don't want to sound like a bunch of party poopers or anything. So, if there are a lot of satellites," I told him, "I said, don't tell anybody. Just tell us secretly what were the satellites and what weren't, so they can have the fun." And the funny thing was, is that Brian kept saying, "Not a satellite. Not a satellite." We were like,
I know.
"Oh my gosh, not a satellite!" It was great. It was just
that
great.
Was great because there are people in the field that some of those say were trying to dismiss the satellites, and they kind of, didn't do anything really spectacular. There were some that possibly could fit in that category, but it was great having the gear there and saying, "Wait, it's not on the chart. It's not a satellite," and You know, and the ones that really put on a display, they made it very clear that they weren't satellites the way they behaved.
Well, and the thing that's most remarkable about having this type of technology available just on a simple phone is that all of those arguments that have been made about those who come to East SETI who are chasing after, you know, those satellites of the gods, the truth is that now we can prove that they're not satellites. Now we can prove that they are something that are anomalous, that are bizarre, that don't show up as known satellites. And see, that's what I think is remarkable, is that all the arguments saying, oh, they're all satellites, that can't stand anymore, because now we have proof that shows that they're not, that they are anomalous or they're unidentified, and we don't know what they are, but they certainly do brighten up. They swoop down. They do maneuvers, and it's just remarkable to watch.
Yeah, there's a couple things I'd like to get your take on. I kind of wanted to go down the line because we are talking about the satellites, but you know, we've got like Peter Davenport with the International UFO Reporting Center, who we've actually, you know, caught red-handed changing reports and discounting engineer reports that he actually sent here to investigate, to try to debunk us. And they came back and said, well, it's real, that these are not satellites. And they had their own experience. One was a woman, actually, by the name of Lexi. And she wrote her report, and he actually changed her report completely. And she was very upset about that because this massive, you know, pink-orange ball came right at her, and she hit the ground. It scared her, you know, scared her to the point of where she was ducking for cover, and then it moved on. But, you know, she put all this in her report, and then that was killed. And then there's a lot of other people that have called in the area saying, you know, we're seeing major ships here, all different types, you know, colors, everything. You know, and he's made comments like, well, tell me when the little green men get out and things like that, and doesn't even take the report. So I'm just curious, what do you think the motive behind this kind of behavior would be?
Well, I think that there's a misunderstanding as to probably what eSETI is all about. I think that a lot of people who want to, you know, be critical or critically minded, maybe such as Peter Davenport and others, there's always this idea that what you're doing is you're here to either create some sort of commune or make a lot of money or do whatever. And I know that you make a modest living just being you and your farming and what you do here. And a lot of what you do, you offer up because you believe in the spiritual aspects and the spiritual side of this. I think most of the time when you're dealing with people like Peter Davenport and others, they're nuts and bolts people. They're one of the nuts and bolts of the situation. They want to kick the tires of a full-on, you know, extraterrestrial SUV. They wanted to be able to land, kick the tires, honk the horn, and say, yep, it's real. When you're looking at something that is happening in the skies above Mount Adams, what they forget, and this is what you need, and what I think needs to be done, is there needs to be a stress being placed on the idea, or there needs to be an emphasis placed on the idea that this is a historic area for UFO activity. This is where Kenneth Arnold saw the UFOs. This is where these shimmering, boomerang-type flying machines were seen traversing Mount Rainier towards Mount Adams and disappeared, and he didn't know where they went. And here we have proof of a doorway that opens up in the mountain that probably allows these, you know, ships to come, you know, to and fro from Earth, into the ground, whatever. It's just there, and it's provable. It's there, and it's a remarkable thing that we can, a fantastic thing that we can show. And we can show it with backup saying, look, this is what the data tells us. This is what is happening. This is... I mean, it inspires people. That's why they come to East SETI. They want enlightenment. It's inspiring. There's an energy that's surrounding this area, and that energy is what people are looking for. The UFOs are simply part of it. It's not the entire thing. I mean, here you find spiritual communion with nature. You find spiritual communion with everything around you, and the lights and the beauty of the skies and the nighttime and all of it is all part of it. And we want to find out exactly what's going on over this area. We are certainly curious as to what is happening, and now we have the data to show that, no, it is not satellites, that there is an energy source that is creating this type of activity over this particular area and the surrounding areas from Rainier to Mount Adams. In fact, there was a woman who listens to my show, her name's Sharon, that told me that she lived in the general area of Mount Adams, and she was snapping photos of this big red UFO that she could not explain. So it's not just, you know, here, it's the surrounding area of here. But what they don't want to be a part of, which I think this is the scary part, is they want to pretend like there's nothing spiritual about it or there's nothing more to it. And it's not just spiritual, too. I know that you have seminars where you're analyzing the footage, where you have videographers come in and demonstrate how these things cannot be faked, how they're you know, quite simply, these lights that are just in the sky that are fascinating. But there's more to it than that. I think that's what they don't like. I think that they have a hard time dealing with the fact that you go at this in a way that's not only practical, scientific. You go at it with discernment, but you also have a spiritual side to you, and I think that the spiritual side is what they kind of abhor, what they don't like. They don't like the spiritual side of much of anything, really.
Yeah, they often attack what they don't understand. I like what Einstein said, you know, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. And there are a lot of armchair investigators, you know, that keep running off and making all these claims and statements, and they've never even been to the ranch. And I always tell them, I go, well, that's really inconsistent. You can't really make any kind of a statement whatsoever till you come out and do the research and get, you know, open up your computer, look at Heavens Above, J-Tracker, find out where the satellites are, and watch these objects, you know, do their thing. Even Dr. Jalen Hynek did research here in the area. So, it's a long history of activity here. And to say there's nothing here but meteors and satellites to me is just beyond ridiculous.
I would say to reject the data here at Mount Adams is like rejecting the data of Kenneth Arnold, or rejecting the data of what was found at Maury Island, or rejecting the data that may be at Roswell. All of these things are connected, and they always go back to the Northwest, and they go back to this particular area where these UFOs were seen, where the words flying saucer were first conceived, right here in this area. And here you are in this area, and you're telling people, hey, it hasn't stopped. They continue. We see them. Kenneth Arnold wasn't the only guy that saw them. We see them all the time, and many of the native tribes that live here have seen them all the time. So a rich history, yes. Proof, yes. All these things, you just go down the checklist, and it all becomes evident that, yes, contact is happening. It is a special type of contact. And no, we don't need 20 years to have NASA verify it or SETI or any place else. We have the proof now.
And that's been my point. You know, it's like one of the PSYOPs programs is to, you know, push everything into the future. They always push it. I mean, in 1950, they're saying, oh, 1970, we're going to have contact, you know. 1970, they're saying, you know, in 1990, we're going to have contact. They always take like 20 years, it seems like, and push it out into the future. And, you know, some of the people that were involved that wanted to bring out the fact that we've already had contact for quite some time seemed to meet an early demise, you know, some very high level people. But going back to the Maury Island and some of the other things, I know you're doing a lot of research about Maury Island and that incident. For people that don't know about that incident, maybe you could tell them what happened on Maury Island.
Well, I always say that the key to a lot of UFO investigations, especially contemporary ones, begins at Maury Island, and that the two men that were involved, that were involved with this situation, Mr. Crispin and Mr. Dahl, were on a boat in the Puget Sound area, and they claimed that a squadron of UFOs, much like the UFOs that Kenneth Arnold saw, were flying over the Puget Sound, and that one of them was in trouble and was dropping shards of metal, wet metal, hot lava metal. They called it slag. One hit the boy that was on the boat. The other one hit and killed the dog. They took the child to the hospital, had him all fixed up. And then, of course, this is where the men in black show up. And they say, you didn't see anything. You know, what you saw, if you were to tell anybody, would harm your family. And they tried to cover it up. And then what had happened is there were a group of investigators that came out, picked off some of the slag from the trees and from the driftwood in the area, put that and a bunch of metal from this this UFO that was having problems, put in a lockbox, put on a B-25, and the B-25 crashes near Kelso, Washington. The wreckage was found. It's in a museum in Kelso. Some of the material of this UFO is in a museum in Kelso. If you go to the Tacoma Times, some of the old newspaper articles about what was happening, they were investigating this. The soldiers did die in the plane crash. All of these things then point to Kenneth Arnold and what he saw, and that all points to Mount Adams, Mount Rainier, East Seti Ranch, the advent of the saucers, the advent of the flying saucers coined by the media, which then a week later we hear of Roswell and we hear of a crash there. We look and see who was all involved with cleaning up the crash. We find that we have the aliens involved, or the possibility of aliens involved, German scientists involved, new weapons being devised, whether it be the atomic bomb or something other, some other weapon, anti-gravity, magnetism, all these things being discovered and worked on at Los Alamos, Trinity, all of these places, and all have connections to these German scientists, to aliens, to MIL-LAB type of activity. And if you look back at the two men that were involved with Maury Island, one of them was an agent for Project Paperclip, where they brought all the German scientists over who were working on the possible saucers, the saucer technology, like Schoenberger and others, who channeled this design from alien beings. Many of these alien beings gave them this information. They took this information, they applied it to science here in our world. They developed these Wunder weapons, is what they called them. The Luftwaffe was being supplied with money to create them. They didn't finish the task, so German scientists wanted to finish the task here. But in the meantime, we had other people who were in contact with aliens. And believe it or not, and this is where, you know, we have to go back and point out the spiritual side, all of these so-called aliens, these beings, these extraterrestrials that gave us this information about these anti-gravity machines, these anti-gravitic machines, were all brought about through channeling, through prayer, through meditation, through remote viewing. All of these things that we hear that a lot of these UFO investigators want to shy away from, all of the things that you contribute and you help people develop here at eSETI, the enlightenment factor, the idea that, yes, you too can have communication and feel the spirit of these beings among us. You too can feel the energy that's surrounding you with all of these things. And so it's about energy, it's about meditation, it's about the beings, it's about the technology, it's about the wisdom that's imparted. And I think that that's where many of these so-called scientists and these so-called details guys fall apart, because they don't want to hear that there's something more to it than just these saucers. I mean, who was it? Jacques Vallée, who had the idea that there's both the spiritual nature of UFOs and alien contact, and the scientific nature of it. And more people, though, would equate a UFO experience or an alien experience to that of a religious experience or an enlightening experience. And that was Jacques Vallée who made that statement. So I would say, and this is and every time people come here to the ranch that I encourage to come, they always say, Clyde, this is the real deal. I am convinced it's the real deal. James is the real deal. It's the real deal. And it is the real deal. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I always find it interesting, these scientists, they know there's at least 11 dimensions out there by their own standards, and they all agree to that. Yet they still want physical proof of higher dimensional contact and all these other things. And the proof is there. I mean, there's ships appear, there's video, there's photographs, eyewitnesses, all that stuff. Especially here, we have a mountain of evidence with this happening, where we give the exact times and dates the ships will appear and the cameras are rolling, and they do. They appear right on cue and put on a little performance. So, you know, doing that over and over again, it's kind of interesting that if you use the scientific method, you know, it's repeatable, it's consistent. And these are definitely unknowns. They can't say they're known. To us, they're known. We know who they are. We know about their culture, and we know what their intentions are. But in their program, they just call them UFOs because they're unidentified. But, in all the nature of the word itself. I mean, these are unidentified flying objects. They don't fit at any known parameters, and they're definitely displaying technology that is beyond anything that we have, and they seem to be extremely advanced, both technologically and spiritually.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, and you know, what's really important too is, in my opinion, the attitudes and the opinions of those who come here and leave here. They always come skeptical, and they walk out surprised. I'm not going to say they go out believers, because I think a lot of people, I don't think they want to commit to a belief, but they certainly want to commit to the idea that what they've experienced is something that they cannot describe, something that they never thought they would experience in their lifetime. I brought a guy here from the Air Force, and he saw 9 UFOs while he was here, and he described them as being UFOs. He said, these cannot be jets. They're not flying in a way that would be the same as a jet or anything that we have. And he was blown away. He says, I'm an Air Force pilot. I can tell what a plane is. I can tell what a satellite is. These are not planes or satellites. So there you go.
I mean, we've had Air Force base commanders here and triple PhD Boeing engineers and Skunk Works and Lockheed engineers, and all of them said the same thing. They said, you know, we're seeing these things make maneuvers that would kill a pilot, and there's no way you can, you know, accelerate, you know, like 3,000 feet almost instantaneously, or make a right angle turn going several thousand miles an hour without having consequences, you know. So they said some of these turns they've seen them do would probably splatter the pilot all over the walls of the ship.
Right. So, it'd turn them into jelly if they did that.
Yeah, and so probably definitely have a heart attack if not go unconscious.
Right.
But, you know, it's that, and I'm sure their technology, you know, they're actually, you know, we're on a planet right now that's going, we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour. I don't know how many thousand miles we're going through space, and we don't even know what's happening, you know, because of the fields of the planet, and they have that same technology. It's like their ships are actually flying planets, and all the ships is moving all over the place. They're experiencing the same thing. It doesn't have an effect on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's just you know, laws of physics, I don't think apply here when you're looking at these things flying through the air. I mean, it's a remarkable thing. I mean, I know I always use the word remarkable, but I can't say it any other way. It's compelling. It's something you don't expect, and even when, you know, you're seeing things that, you know, I was expecting just to come here and see a few lights in the sky move, but this time we saw lights in the sky move. We saw brilliant lights appear over the field of dreams. We saw, I mean, I saw something as I was getting my coat, and I screamed. I said, look at that! Look at that! I mean, I've never reacted that way to fireworks or anything else, so there you go.
Yeah. I know one thing here we want to make clear is that we don't really have a following here. We have basically a newsletter, and that's free. But we don't have you can't join anything. You can't pay, you know, a portion of your income. There is no cult. I mean, everybody are free-thinking individuals here, and they have their own destiny. So we've very much promoted things that way, which is, you know, hard on the pocketbook, but you do maintain your integrity. You know, with these things. But I was wondering, you know, like, you know, people like the Billy Meyer group, they ask for a big percentage of your income to join the group. And then that makes, you know, then that gives them the motive, you know, for wanting an exclusive on God and ET, because if you have an exclusive, then nobody's going to go anywhere else, especially within, and make their own contact, because that would, you know, kill your business. You know, so you don't want that program going. But I see a lot of that. Unfortunately, there is a lot of competition, you know, in the business. There's a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and disempowerment going on. And, you know, telling people the ships are going to land, you know, they're going to take care of everything. You got nothing to worry about. You know, things, those kind of messages and things of that nature. There's a lot of that going on. It's like, how do you sift through all of that, you know, and get to the meat of the subject?
Well, you have to look at the dynamic, and of course, when you just when you were telling me about how you're hearing now about Billy Meyer being an only prophet of God and whatever, I just shake my head and go, "You're kidding, right? You know, Do you know how dangerous it sounds for people to, especially in an age where we had Heaven's Gate and we had all these other groups, like Unarius and several others, that are out there that, you know, that are UFO cults. One was a dangerous UFO cult, and then this other one has still been around forever, still saying that someday the aliens are going to land, but until then, you know, we're going to keep watch. But, you know, you look at this and you say to yourself, well, you know, do I want to be that person who, when I go to bed at night, you know, do I want to be that person who's duping people into thinking that I'm a cult leader or that I'm something more than I am? No, you're not that way, James. You're a guy who's the real deal, as I've heard many people say. And you're offering up this land for people to find self-discovery. And I think that's something that should be, I think, praised and pointed out, that you are offering this area for self-discovery. You're offering this area for enlightenment. And you're offering this area for those who want to find that magic in the world, and they want to be able to bring it back and tell people. And yeah, this is a remote area, but it, you know, there are a lot of people who come here, and every year I'm always surprised at the type of people and who comes and what they say and how they react, and how some people come here, you know, as I said, skeptical, not wanting to believe or not wanting to see, and I don't know if they walk away believing, but they certainly walk away with something to tell someone and say, this is what I experienced. They walk away with an experience.
Yeah. And, you know, you can't take that away from people. It, like, when you've had your own experience, nobody can take that away. And I love what Danny Dyer said. He said, I did it. You know, I went all over the world, you know, to have my experience. And he finally, at East City, he said, I'm on UFO overload, where he had, you know, he came up empty at all the other places that he went to. And, you know, that happens. You know, sometimes the ship's around, sometimes they're not, you know, but when here, he said, I'm on UFO overload. And he just saw one ship after another come in and power up like we saw last night. And
yeah.
And they put on quite a show for him. And, you know, and Robbie Williams. And I have the most massive list of who's who, you know, that have been to the ranch. And then there are some that have never come to the ranch and probably will never come to the ranch because it would interfere in their program. You know, they might have to let go of something or share the fame or something like that, you know, so they won't be coming up here.
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, if they're that hard that they can't come up here, they most certainly don't belong here. And that's the thing, is the people who come here belong here. I've never been in a situation where people who come here I don't think did not belong. Even some of the hardened skeptics. I remember I came here one year, there was a German scientist who was up here doing field readings, and he was monitoring the situation. He had cameras everywhere that would trip and all this other stuff. And I said to him, I said, do you believe what you're seeing? He says, no, I don't believe a thing. And I said, you don't believe a thing? I said, even though you got all this stuff? And he goes, well, he says, I guess I can change that and say, it's not that I believe, it's just that I am observing. And he says, and this is the most remarkable scientific observance I've ever had in my lifetime. So, you know, he said he didn't believe, but he certainly didn't deny the fact that he was experiencing something that he could not explain. And and even then, I was getting the vibe from him that he was actually like a, you know, a kid at Christmas. You know, somebody opened the present. I mean, he was dazzled by the tinsel and the lights, and then all of a sudden, he wants to find out more. He wants to know why it's happening. He wants to get down to the bottom of it. And I think that, to me, spoke volumes when I first was here. What, you know, I had a great experience my first time. You know, with people who were from all over the world. That's what happens. This time, the remarkable thing is listeners coming from all over the country. My listeners, we're from, you know, hi, Clyde, we're from Houston, Texas, they tell me. I'm going, you came all the way from Houston. And other people saying, yeah, we came all the way from Baja, California, and we're here from Maine. And this is I think, a tribute to you, James. I think it's remarkable how people will travel here. They'll land in a municipal airport somewhere that's miles away. They'll find a way to drive out here. They make the long drive out here into this beautiful area, and they await the magic. And sometimes you have to go to great distances to find that magical moment, to find that magical place, and this is one of them. It's a very magical place. And you don't need Disneyland, or you don't need roller coasters and Mickey Mouse to make it magical.
Yeah. What I like about this place, too, is that there's always something going on. You've got the nature spirits, the orbs, you know, you've just nature itself is incredible here. You know, you've got the rivers, the ponds, and the beautiful gardens and rock structures and things like that. But there's so many different levels to what's happening here. We have incredible photographs of the Ascended Masters appearing here. And we've had Mary appear here and got beautiful photos of Mary. And, of course, we don't want the Catholic Church to know about that because she is a universal being and she's not Catholic and they don't own her. You know. So,
you saw the pictures of the Virgin Mary today that one of my associates took a picture of. He was his wife was up here with him, and she was feeling upset, and they went into the area of sanctuary, and there was a picture of the Virgin Mary that you had. She wanted to see it, and she had said, I wonder if she would make an appearance for us, and she appeared there in the room, and he snapped pictures of her standing there right there in the camera. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's an amazing place, because the veils are so thin here. You know, if you're into the nature spirits, they're here. If you're into the Ascended Masters and the saints and sages, you know, they're appearing. You know, and it's very eclectic. You know, we've had Kuan Yin appear here and Ezekiel of old. And a lot of these beings are just amazing that are putting in cameo appearances here. And then on top of that, we have the higher dimensional ships coming in. You know, a lot of that activity, which is all tied together. One of these days, man is going to realize that he's the missing link, that all the other kingdoms are tied together and they all work together and we're the ones out of sync.
Either we're the missing link or we're the weakest link, and if we're the weakest link, we need to strengthen ourselves in a spiritual way so that we will not be the weakest link. I think we were talking today about the moral obligation we have to the planet, the moral obligation we have to each other, and how morality is just lip service provided by our leaders. Their moral compasses have gone south. We are now in an age of war. We're in an age of deceit and deception. And it just seems that, people always say to me, well, Clyde, not everything is a conspiracy. And I says, no, not everything is a conspiracy, but I'll tell you what, everything that I'm seeing anymore is got the foundation of deceit, the foundation of lies, the foundation of false flag. All of these things that are a part of our vernacular now never were part of it back 30, 40 years ago. And now here we are in a very, very paranoid way. There's a cloud of paranoia over the planet. We have shadow governments in the cryptocracy basically calling all the shots. And we have leaders that don't lead. And then we have the consent of the governed, which we also have to remember. We're giving them the consent to govern us the way they are. And this is where we have to say it's our decision not to be governed this way. It's our decision to enlighten ourselves. It's our decision to explore the things that we want to explore, not to have science dictate to us, not to have government dictate to us, but to dictate to them what we really and truly want to gain from this existence, what we truly want to gain from this life, not some stunted growth, but growth that expands upon itself, that's exponential. And I think this is where we fail. I think that we forget that we do have the ability to go beyond the limit of the sky. The sky no longer is the limit. Space is no longer the limit. Time is no longer the limit. And yet they're telling us, give it 20 years and it won't be. No, give it time now. It isn't now. We are here and we need to push things a little further out there into space.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've dealt with some scientists that were just amazing. I can't even mention their names, but they're actually growing limbs, you know, and fingers and feet and things like that, and they're using the quantum field to do it. They've synthesized oxygen and crystallized it at room temperature. So, oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get, you know, in your body, and they put it in a water. You know, and they have other devices. They have counter-gravity, anti-gravity, all these things. You know, I've held them, I know they exist, and I just thought about, you know, what would happen if you had all the pure water you wanted? It was also, you know, we can't use the H healing word, so we won't use that. But that has those properties, and then you're also generating all the electricity you need, you know, out of the same system that's producing incredible healing waters and all the electricity you need. So that's taken care of. And so you've got your transportation and all your energy needs taken care of, as well as you have this pure, incredible water. And the water also makes things grow like crazy. So, you know, it's like that's just one of the systems that are out there. And there's other energetic field generators, you know, that are they're regrowing limbs, and you know, they have the 24-hour soldier where the guy gets shot and he's back out in the field in 24 hours. You know, technology like that. That, you know, just imagine if all of this was made available to the public, what kind of planet we'd be living on.
Right. It would be, it'd be remarkable. And in fact, what you're getting at with the fresh water and all of that, I remember once, I think it was Robert Anton Wilson that made this statement. He said that if an administration or a government were to give the people what they need, and that is nutritious food, fresh nutritious food, without additives and preservatives and things that can make them sick, if the government provided them with clean water and if the government provided them a way to be out of pain, then that government would be the most remarkable government on the planet. And I think so. I think that a lot of people are in pain, a lot of people aren't drinking enough water, and a lot of people are not drinking enough clean water, and nor are they eating foods that aren't filled with all kinds of I guess garbage that's going to make the bodies feel tired and weak and not open to the very things that you say that we need to be open to the very spirituality and enlightenment that we need to be open to. And I think that there's something to be said about dulling the ability to transmit and to receive the information necessary to the spirit or to creation, mm-hmm. or to whatever it is that you feel is in the universe hearing your supplication, or at least feeling it.
Yeah, can you imagine a higher dimensional, or let's say extremely spiritually and technologically advanced race were to come here and say, hey, kids, guess what? We transcended disease. You know, we've taken care of that. You know, we've transcended all material need. You know, we have things that duplicators or replicators or whatever, like on Star Trek. You know, and if they go, hey, and guess what? You know, we don't need fuel, you know, either.
Right.
And, you know, on top of that, And we also have universal peace. You know, we don't war on each other, you know. And so there goes the war industry. You know, there goes the pharmaceutical industry. There goes the oil industry. You know, it's like that is the main reason we don't have contact, as well as people allowing to be misled, you know, by the people that are in positions, you know, their planned opposition and disinformation agents and playing both sides of the fence. And you really look at that, and I think about it from an ET's perspective, considering the consciousness on this planet and the way we can't even cooperate and get along, especially in the UFO community and things like that. Why would they want to contact us?
Well, it all goes to wonder if we're supposed to be preparing ourselves spiritually to accept them, or do we accept them even if we're not spiritually ready? Will they come as a surprise to us, or will they come at a time when we're so far in tune with what is going on in the ether that we will accept them? I know that the churches have said that they are creations of God. The Catholic Church is searching the heavens with their little telescope in Arizona, trying to find life. And now all of the radio telescopes are turning towards the heavens again, as they tell us that we've got 20 years where we will be guaranteed that there is life out there. I don't know. When you bring that up to people, they say, well, spiritually speaking, I believe that there is life out there. When you look at movies that are in the movie theaters, our pocketbooks pay out 60%. Most 60% of all successful box office movies are movies dealing with the extraterrestrial issue, or dealing with the supernatural, or dealing with things beyond that, which is things that we can control. I think people have a need, or they're wired to believe, that they are capable of doing this. There have been theorists for some time that have said that we lost our superhuman capabilities to come down to this earth, and then we relearn how to use them. At least that's what this life is for, is to relearn how to regain these superhuman tendencies that we have. And by the time we learn how to do that, we'll be prepared for the next life. And I think that'd be an interesting choice if we were to realize that, yes, we do have these powers, we do have this life, and this is only one life to learn all these powers and regain them before we have to go to the other life and utilize them.
I love what Michal Lewis said. He said, you know, why do they have to come down to us? Why don't we rise up to them? And he said it's very arrogant to think that, to demand them to come to us, and you know, considering our current condition here, you know, I wouldn't want to, especially hang out with most of the governments and powers that were, you know, that are, and I'd rather, you know, avoid that with a, like a plague. But anyway, you know, they, in looking at this whole thing, and I know they will intervene if things get too out of hand, especially if we're going to destroy the planet and we got a little too crazy with the nukes, they're going to definitely step in and put an end to that. So,
yeah,
you know, good luck with, this World War III and the other stuff, because they just aren't going to allow that to happen.
Right. They'll step in and change things.
Yeah. Hey, we've got just about another 8 minutes left. I think it's awesome that you came on the show. I don't know if you've got a couple other people there. I wanted to get your cameraman on the show and talk about what he saw.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will find him. We got Brian, who is the guy who runs the technology to look at the satellites. Let's put him on and see if he would like to talk with you about what he discovered. He was very impressed with what he saw this year. Let me put him on. This is Brian Trotter. He is an associate producer of my radio program.
Yeah, Ground Zero.
Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Hey, I'm really glad that you did bring your technology up to actually spot the satellites, and I noticed that in the beginning, I know we're about six out of eight. When you first started counting, I think six out of eight were unknowns.
Right.
That were definitely, you know, not satellites. And then, I don't know, later on in the evening, I think we spotted maybe a couple more satellites, you know, according to the gear. But overall, what would you say these objects are that you experienced in the sky?
Wow, I tell you what, they were truly anomalies to me. I really do believe that they are these creatures that you think that are in the mountain. I really do. Because a lot of these things that I saw in the sky last night, they did not behave like satellites at all. In fact, I think these were definitely alien craft of some type.
Now, did you see the one with the windows that showed up that had the beam in between the two windows?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely saw that.
You got. Yeah, you got to see the door on the mountain as well. The door.
Oh yes, I did. Absolutely. In fact, last time I was here, I definitely saw lights on the mountain too, and I definitely saw the doorway. And then when I came in last night too as well. Yeah, it. We saw the doorway there too as well. It, that was the most amazing thing out of the whole night.
Great. Hey, well, yeah, I think it's awesome you guys came up, and Clyde has always been welcome here, and Ground Zero as well. And I love coming on your show as well as having you on mine.
Oh, absolutely. You bet. You bet, James. You betcha. And I had a wonderful time here too.
Great. Have we got your cameraman ready, or is he?
Yes, he is. Yes, Wes Scocco is right here. Here, let me just pass him on to you.
Great.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, I wanted to get your take. I know you were operating the camera out here, and some of the objects that you saw while you're out here and actually filmed. I told people we did have a little difficulty where we lost memory and we had to download it and then start up again. But just we've got a few minutes left. I'd love to get your take on what you experienced here.
It was great. Well, like you said, I was operating your camera with the night vision throughout the entire night, and it was great because I was able to see so much more clear than everybody else. There was actually objects I was able to see that other people couldn't catch, and you know, the flare-ups looked really brilliant on the camera, and it was great. Definitely, I think seeing the door open and close was probably one of the cooler things that we caught on camera.
Mm-hmm. And I wish we had the camera up and running when that giant window appeared, you know, up in the sky.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, as soon as we take the camera down to go and offload the footage, that's when all the really, really cool stuff happens. That's just the way of the universe, I guess.
Yeah, we had major power-ups and turns and all kinds of crazy things going on. There's no way to film them because the gear was down, but... You know, that was my bad. I'm not so much technologically savvy. I should have checked and seen how much memory was left. And I did check the batteries and made sure everything else was charged up. But, you know, live and learn. The one thing is, it doesn't matter because it's still ongoing. You know, it's always happening here.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll hang out tonight, and we'll probably get some good stuff. I'm pretty confident about that. I'm hopeful as well, and I think that we'll have another good night. We had some clouds fly over, and looks like they're clearing up. Just last night was amazing. Brian with his phone tracking all the satellites, and he was worried. And before too long, we noticed that we didn't really have that many satellites. We kept just getting so many of these ships flying over. It was great. And I think one of the cooler bits of footage I grabbed was one ship following another one. And then a few minutes later, I got some footage of a plane flying by, and then a ship seems like it was carrying flying behind it almost an exact straight line, but it was kind of off the side, just diagonally following along with it. It was really cool.
Great. Hey, we're out of time, unfortunately, but thank you so much for coming on the show and giving your take and allowing people to experience vicariously, you know, what's going on here at the ranch.
Yeah, great. It's great being up here, James, and thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Well, it looks like we're out of time, folks. Unfortunately, we've got to wind it up. And remember, go to eastetireservations@gmail.com if you want to find out more about the upcoming events at East Seti or come to some of the Sky Watches. And there's a lot of information on the website, eastetireservations.org. There's some amazing books and videos and whatever else you want to check into to help you educate and empower each and every one of you. So anyway, we're coming to the end of the hour, so thanks for listening and watch the skies. And don't be looking too far into the future for events that are happening now. Have a great evening.